Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 33, Lamed Gimel. Ranenu tzadikim badunai la'isharim na'avatila. We say this mizmor on Shabbat day in the Psukei de Zimra. It means the following: rejoice in the Lord, you righteous people. La'isharim na'avatila. The praise befits the upright. Hodu l'Adonai b'chinor b'nevel asor zamrulo, shir lo shir chadash, heitivu nagem b'tura. Praise the Lord, make music to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully with loud shouts. This orphan psalm begins by calling out to those righteous adherents to chant, praise, thank, play instruments, and ultimately sing a new song to God. Recall that throughout the Psalms, we'll be reminded that these poems were meant to be sung in public by Israel, in the temple, and perhaps outside the temple as well. The next verse begins with the all-important explanation of why to call out to God. Ki yashar dvar Adonai b'chol maseo b'emunah, because these are the attributes of God which warrants these new songs. The word of God is right, and all his works are done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of God's loving kindness. By the word of God, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the seas together as a heap. He lays up the depths in storehouses. This psalm contains no call to God, except for the last verse, which we'll discuss. No supplication, no desperation. No pathos. Rather, it's 22 verses of different ways to praise God for the multitude of kindness and justice he does for mankind. Note that there are 22 letters in the Hebrew language, Hebrew alphabet, and a psalm of that number, despite it not being an acrostic, makes us wonder if there's a hidden poetic message. Verses 4 and 5 describe God's interpersonal characteristics, how he interacts with human beings. His righteousness, actions of faith, meaning credibility or loyalty, his love of tzedakah, justice, and mishpat, judgment, together with chesed, loving kindness. Indeed, that chesed permeates through the whole land. Verses 6 and 7, on the other hand, complement the interpersonal characteristics with lofty, heavenly, creationist distinctions. The word of God was enough to create the heavens. It starts to retell the early moments of creation with the gathering of the waters and storing them in celestial spheres. Perhaps the psalmist attempts to convince the reader that just as they should trust in God's involvement in the world, equal in terms of good and evil, the same way they have faith in his creation of it. The next mini section focuses on the awe inspired in mankind from God's creation and omnipotence. Yirume Adonai kol ha'aretz mimenu yaguru kol yoshvei teva. All the land will fear God, tremble all the inhabitants of the world. For God said it, and it became. He commanded it, and it stood up. Adonai hefir atzat goyim heini machshavot amin. God thwarted the plans of the nations, frustrates the scheme of nations. Atzat Adonai leolam tamod, machshavot libo ledor vador. God's plan, however, stands forever. His thoughts from one generation to the next. Though here there is a reference to God thwarting plans of the nations, we would be wrong to think that the message of the psalm is about God being aggressive, partisan, a defender of Israel and destroyer of her enemies, which we've seen in many other psalms. But here the opposite is true. This psalm is universalistic in nature, doesn't mention the nation of Israel even once. Instead, there are tzaddikim, righteous, yesharim, straightforward, kol ha'aretz, all the land, yoshvei tevel, inhabitants of the earth, goy, am, nations and people, b'nei ha'adam, sons of Adam, yireyav, those who fear God, and miyachalim, those who wait for him. Ashrei ha'goy asher Adonai Elohav ha'am b'char l'nachalalo. The next verse says, happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Now, having just proposed that the psalm is universalist in nature, how do we approach verse 12, in which the psalmist praises the nation upon which God is the Lord, the people whom he had chosen? But notice that Israel is not mentioned. Perhaps the message is that any nation can and should become God's chosen. Can he choose only one? Perhaps if all nations tried to fulfill this verse and become chosen in God's eyes instead of fighting with each other, the world would get closer to God's intent. After all, Mishamayim hibit Adonai ra'a kol bnei Adam. From the heavens, God looks down and sees all the children of Adam. From his throne, he watches over all the inhabitants of the land. He who fashions all their hearts and knows their intentions. In the penultimate section, we read of the psalmist teaching us that believing only in oneself, however, is futile. Ein ha-melech nosha b'rav chayil, gibor lo yinatzel b'rav koach, sheker asus l'tshua v'rav chaylo lo yimaleit. A king is not saved by a great army. A mighty man is not saved by great strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, upon those who hope in his loving kindness, to save their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Excuse me. Only in this section, there's an almost negative part of the psalm. But nevertheless, the psalmist reminds us that it is not man's might or a great army which brings victory and salvation. Rather, it is he who places his trust and fear in God, in those who hope in God's loving kindness. To them, God will offer protection, physical and spiritual. The final section of the psalm turns personal and collective. Nafshenu chikta l'Adonai ezrenu umagineinu hu. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our hope and our shield. Kivo yismach libeinu ki v'shem kodesho gotachnu. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. And finally, Yehi chasacha Adonai aleinu kasher yichalnu lach. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. While the first two verses of this last section still speak of God in hidden, when we talk about God, it's called Nistar, the final verse turns directly to God. The psalm speaks of God's creation and of and a constant involvement in the world. The entire world, and not just one small group. There's no personal call, no nationalistic perspective. Instead, a feeling that everyone can become one of the righteous, one of the fearers, one of the hoping, one who's waiting for God, so that everyone can call themselves part of the nation of God. In the end, the call is to God in a personal way, to shine his kindness upon us, just as we have been waiting and hoping for you. Amos Chacham concludes his analysis by suggesting that Psalm 33 is actually the second half of Psalm 32. And since together it would be too long, it was split into two. There is some support for this theory, since Psalm 32 ends with the words, Simchu b'Adonai v'gilu tzadikim v'harinu kol yishrei lev. He uses the word tzadikim and the word yisharim. And 33 begins with, Ranu tzadikim b'Adonai la'yisharim na'vatila. Also, the word chesed, which seems to be a guiding word in verse in Psalm 33, appears in 32 twice. In addition, the phrase don't be like a certain animal appears both in 32, the horse or the mule, and in 33 we read that trusting in the horse is vanity. The question I have with this approach, though, is that Psalm 32 was very personal, very vulnerable, talking about sin, punishment, repentance, return. Psalm 33 is nothing of the sort. I believe it is a separate psalm with its own unique message of universalism and ultimate faith in God.